Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Shlomo Perlstein. Meseches Ksubis has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Shlomo Nyman, Le'ilo Nishmas, Rav Yaakov ben Matisyahu Zatzal, and Chaya Bas Pesach.
Hey, Omen Aleph. The Gemara brings the halacha of Sitroi, that the Gemara brings a story. Avimai owed money to people from Bechazoi. He sent the payment with the Shliach. The Shliach gave the money to the Malvim, and the Malvim refused to return the Shtar to the Shliach, as they said, the money that you paid us, sitroininu, it's really for a different chayiv, not the chayiv in the shtar, and therefore we're keeping the shtar, we're going to be gaiva another time, and we're keeping this money for a different chayiv that's not written in the shtar. So they came complaining to Rabbi Bo, and Rabbi Bo said, if you don't have edim that you paid them, so theoretically they can deny the payment entirely. So with a migud they could say, you didn't pay us, like Hoyzvar Me'elim, you never paid us. They could say you paid us, but that was for a different chayv. They're neman with a migu. And they don't have to give back the shtar, and they can be gaiva once again for the chayv that's written in the shtar. Now the Ran learns a halacha from this Gemara, that if Reuven has to pay Shimon money for two separate chayvis, he borrowed $1,000 one time, and he borrowed $1,000 a different time, and he paid $1,000, Shimon, the malva, has the right to decide which chayv is being paid up. You see that from our Gemara. Because if it wasn't the Malva's right to be kaveya, to determine which chayv is being paid up, rather the Loiva's, why wouldn't Bechazoi have to give back the shtar? Avimai is the Loiva. He says, I'm paying for the shtar and the chayv. What do I care what migu the Anshe Bechazoi have? They can have all the migus in the world, but it's Avimai's right to determine which chayv is being paid up. And he meant it for the milvah shebishtar. It's mochach from here that it's the malva's right to determine which chayv is being paid. And he says more than that. He says that even if Reuven says clearly, I'm paying for chayv X, let's say a chayv that has a shtar written on it, and the malva is quiet, and he just takes the money, he can say afterwards, I really took it for chayv Y, the one without a shtar. And I'm not giving back a shtar. And we don't say that he was shaysik, that he was quiet, means that he was moided to take it for the chayv shebishtar. Rather, he was just quiet in order to facilitate a tfisa. If he wasn't quiet, he wouldn't have gotten the money. But the Ran extrapolates from this Gemara that it's always the malva's prerogative to choose which chayv he's taking the money for. Now, the only question on the Ran is, if that's the case, why does the Gemara say that because there's a migu, the Anshei Bechazoi could say, that's why they're nemun to say Sitroi, that's why they can choose which chayv it was for. Even without the migu, they could always say Sitroi. We took it for a different chayv. What does the Gemara say that only because there's a migu are they nemun? So the Teretz L'chayr is Pasha, that's what Rabbi Chanan Kevet Shurim writes, without a migu, they wouldn't be believed to say that there was another chayv. There is no other shtar. There is no proof that there's any other chayv. If there's clearly a chayv and a shtar, and there clearly was a piroin to create a new chayv out of thin air to say, really, there's another chayv that nobody knows about, and we took the payment for that, they wouldn't be nemon to say that, to create a new chayv, and say the payment was for that, unless they have a migu of lahadam. But in a regular case where everyone is familiar with the fact that there are two chayvs, there's a chayv shebishtar and a chayv baal peh, in such a case, if the Malva says, I'm taking the money for the Chayv Shebaal Peh and I'm not returning the Shtar, that doesn't need a Migu. That he has a right to say Sitroi even without a Migu. The only reason the Gemara needs a Migu over here is because it wasn't Yadua, it wasn't known that there is another Chayv. That L'chayr is Pshat in the Ran. However, when one takes a look at the Rosh brings our Gemara and he says, it's only because there's a Migu that the Anshei Bechazoi, the Malva is Neman. If there's no Migu, one is not Neman to say Sitroi, because it's not a good taina. It's a very shvacha taina to say Sitroi, that he paid for the loan, Shebaal Peh, and he wasn't paying for the Milva Shebishtar. Generally, a person would much rather pay a Milva Bishtar and not a Milva Al Peh. Therefore, without a Migu, we will not believe the Malva to say that the payment was for the Milva Bishtar and not the Milva Alpeh. He has a Migu, that's why he's believed. Without a Migu, he won't be believed as a Shvacha Taina. Now, the Pashtus Mashmos of the Rosh would seem to indicate that the Rosh argues on the Ranman. The Rosh holds that it's the Loiva's prerogative to choose which Chayv is being paid for. And the only reason the Gemara over here believes the Malva is because there's a Migu. Not like the Ran that we mentioned before, that it's always the Malva's prerogative. And the Migu is only in order for the Malva to be allowed to establish the fact that there is another Chayv. However, Rabbi Yochanan Krei B'Shurim does not accept that as a possibility, that the Rosh argues on the Ran. On this halacha, of course, it's the Malva's prerogative to pick which chayv is being paid for. No shita is brought in the Torah or in the Shulchan Aruch to argue on this Ran. It's accepted as a davar pashut that the Malva can choose which chayv is being paid for. We mentioned before it's mukha from the Gemara like that, the Ran's Raya. If it wasn't the Malva's prerogative, then why can't the Vimai say, I don't care what your intention was in taking the chayv. My intention was to pay the chayv for the shtar. So give me back the shtar. It's mukhach that it's the Malva's choice. So if that's the case, we have to understand, what does the Rosh say that one is not nemo to say sitroi without a migu, because sitroi is a shvach hataino. The chayv sitroi, according to the Ran, is a pashat hataino. He has a right to say that, even without any migu. And the migu is only to establish that there was another chayv. And the Rosh is clearly not mashma like that. Rabbi Chanan explains what the Rosh means to say, that the only reason one is nemo to say sitroi is because there's a migu, and without a migu one cannot say that, because it's a taina grua, it's a shvacha taina. What the Rosh means to answer is, there's a kasha the Mordechai asks, how could the Malva be nemo to say sitroi? In effect, what's going to happen is, the shliach's going to have to pay. As the Gemara says a few lines later, linyan shlumimai, the Gemara says, regarding paying, the shliach has to pay the loiva, because he was pashay with the money. He should have taken the shtar back before he paid the money. So the Mordechai asks, how could the Malva take the money, say sitroi, and be machayev the shliach? What did the shliach ever do to the Malva that he's costing him to pay out of his own pocket to reimburse the loiva? So the Mordechai brings from the Ri that when the Malva is saying sitroi, he's saying the shliach paid me l'shem sitroi. And he's never to say the shliach paid it l'shem sitroi for the milva alpeh and not for the milva shabashtar. He's nemum because he has a migu. En l'chanami, according to this shita in the Mordechai, if the malva says, yeah, the shliach gave it to me b'stama, he didn't tell me what it's for. And kolshken, if he told me it's for the milva shabashtar, the malva has no right to say that I took it with the intention of taking it for the milva shabalpeh. The malva has to say that the shliach paid me for the sitroi, for the milva shebal peh. And only in such a case is he nemon to keep the money and the shtar and say sitroi ninu. He says that's what the shliach paid it to me for. Actually, in Shulchan Aruch, there are two dais brought to whether a person can say sitroi ninu if the money was given to him bestama. One of the shittas brought down is this Mordechai that says a person cannot say sitroi if he got the money bestama. He cannot choose which chayv it was for, because in effect, he's being mafsid the shliach, unfairly. The only way he's nemo to say sitroi ninu is by saying that the shliach gave it to me expressly for the sitroi, for the chayiv that's baal peh, and therefore I don't have to give back the shtar. According to that, Rabbi Chanan explains, that's what the Rosh means. The Rosh means to say that the loiva sent it with a shliach in order to pay for the milva shebaal peh, and not for the milva shebishtar, that's a very shvacha taina. Without a migu, one will not be nemon to say that. Generally, a person would much rather pay up the milva shebishtar before the milva shebal peh. Therefore, it's a taina gru, it's a shvacha taina. And that's why he needs to have a migu in order to be believed that the shliach actually expressly said, this is for the milva shebal peh. But of course, in a regular case, where it's not done through a shliach, the loiva pays money bistama, and then the Malva says, sitroi ninu, it was for another chayv. Of course, in such a case, the Rosh would be maida that one can say sitroi without a migu, and it's not a taina grua. The only reason it's a taina grua is because he has to say, according to the Mordechai, that he expressly paid me for the milva baal peh, and as we said, that's very uncommon, and for that he needs a migu. And otherwise, he won't be nemo to say that I was expressly paid for the milva shebaal peh. In a case where he doesn't have to say that it was paid expressly for the milva shebaal peh, in a case where the loiva himself paid, where there's no chashash of hefsed for the shliach, in such a case, of course, the resh would be maida that the malva can choose which chayiv is getting paid for. Now, there's another point to be made over here regarding the migul. The Mordechai and Hagos Ashri bring a ritzva that asked, why is the malva neman to say sitroi ninu because he has a migul? The klal is migul lahitzi layamrina. What's going to happen is the malva is going to hold on to the shtar and the money because of the migul that he has, and he's going to be geiva once again. That's a migul lahitzi. He's being mighty mamon with a migul, and the klal is migul lahitzi layamrina. We don't say a migul to be mighty mamon. So the ritzva answers that true, migul lahitzi layamrinon, that's to take money out of somebody else. But here what he's saying, the migul, is not really extracting money from somebody. What's going on is he's keeping the shtar. That's a migul hachzik. Eventually, the payal yaitse, the outcome will be, is that he'll be able to be geiva with the shtar and be mighty mamon. But the migul right now is to machzik the shtar, and therefore it's not considered a migul lahitzi, rather it's a migul lahachzik, to hold on to what he has, and therefore it's not a problem. We find a similar svara in the Shmaitza Aleph, Perek Chof Dalet, that although Svek Sveika L'chayra can't be mighty mamon, it's no different than Roiv or migul, that's not enough of a raya to be mighty mamon, yet when there's a shtar, such as a woman who has a ksuba, Taisus and Ksuba Staftesim Beis is mochach that he holds that with a Svek Sveika, a woman can be mighty the mamon of the ksuba from her husband. You can't be mighty mamon with a Svek Sveika. That's true, but when one has a shtar, she's a semi-muchzik, and therefore she could be mighty. Here too, when there's a shtar, the person holding the shtar is a quasi-muchzik, so therefore the rules of ha-mitzim ha-chaveira, all of haraya, that roiv is not enough, migu is not enough, sfek sveka is not enough, over here they won't apply because the person already has a shtar. That's not called migu lahaitzi. They have the shtar, they're machzik in the shtar, and the outcome of the actual payment is not so much a lahaitzi because a person that has a shtar is already a quasi-muchzik. Now there's another kasha that the Rishonim tackle. Taisus asks a kasha over here. Taisus asks, on the bottom actually of Peidalot Amud Beis, the Bar Maskal Migu, why is the Malva belief to say Sitzroininu with a Migu that he could say Lahadam, Lehayu Dvar Me'olam? How could he possibly say Lehayu Dvar Me'olam? The Shliach should act as an Eid Echot regarding the payment. The Malva couldn't possibly say Lehayu Dvar Me'olam. For him to say Lehayu Dvar Me'olam, he'd have to be Nishba to be Makhish the Eid. The Shliach would serve as an Eid who's made that he did pay the Malva. And since the Malva is Maida, that he got payment, just he's saying it's Sitroi, he won't be Neman. There's no such a shvua as swearing that it's Sitroi. The only shvua he'd be Neman to say is to say that the aid is lying, and he was Maida to the words of the aid. He was Maida that he got paid. He's just saying it was Sitroi. So it's going to be the classic case of Mitech Sha'ino Yochel Ishava Mishalim. A person who's Mechuyiv a shvua and can't swear has to pay. Taisus, the Ran, the Ritva, and the other Rishonim say that this Gemara is really comparable to the Gemara of Nascha de Reb Abba in Cheskes Abatim, where Reuven grabbed Shimon's Chayfetz, Levi was an Eid Echot, Levi saw Reuven grabbing it, in Bezdin Levi testified that he saw Reuven being Toifes Shimon's Chayfetz, Reuven says, Ein Chotfi v'didi Chotfi, Itakis took it, but it's mine, Shimon really owes it to me. Now, theoretically, if Reuven denied it and said, I never grabbed it, and he was Nishba to be Makhish Levi, he'd be believed. But now that Reuven was Maida that he grabbed it, and he's just saying, Migu, I could have denied it with a Shvua. By being Nishba to be Makhish Levi, believe me now when I say it's mine, the Gemara says in such a case, Reuven's Chayv to pay back to Shimon. And we don't say that he has a Migu. We say this is a case of Mitoch Sheni Yochel Lishava Mishalim. He could only swear to be Makhish Levi, and he didn't do that. He was Maida the Levi was saying the truth. But he's saying, it really was mine. In such a case, the Gemara says that Reuven has to pay back. The Rishonim all compare our Gemara to that, where the Malva is Maida that he got the money. The only way he could be believed is by being Makhish the aid, by saying, I did not get the money, and he'd have to swear. Now that he's made it, he got the money, he's just saying, it's really mine, I deserve it for a different chayv, for a different loan. Since there is no such a shvu in the Torah to say that I got sitroi, that I deserve the money for a different reason, mimela, he's considered a mitoich she'eni yochel lishav a meshalim. He has to swear, because there's an edech who's saying that he took the money. On the other hand, he can't swear because he's moida that he took it. He just has to prove that it's his. And he can't with a shvua. There's no such a shvua like that. Mele the Gemara says he has to pay back. If so, the Rishayim ask, let the shliach serve as an eid echad and force upon the malva the din of mitoich she'eni yochel lishav a mishalim. Since he can't swear because there's no such a shvua, there's no shvua called sitroi, there's no shvua called idi chatvi, so he should have to pay, just like the Gemara says in the sugya of Nascha Rabbi Abba. So Taisa says, our Gemara is talking about that this took place in a period of time after Chazal Masakin Shvuas Heses. Shvuas Heses is any time somebody is Teveya, his friend, you owe me money, but the Rabbanon, he has to swear. Since the Shliach would have to swear Shvuas Heses to the Leiva, where's my money? He'd have to swear that he doesn't have it. He gave it, passed it on to the Malva. He's already in Negea. If he's in Negea, he can't serve as an aid. But of course, if this was before the period of Shuas Heses, there's no Shua Mediuraisa for the Shliach to swear, Enachanami, he would serve as an aid, and therefore he'd be Mechayev the Malva to swear, and therefore the Malva would have to give the money back, and he wouldn't be Nemon to say Sitroi. Just like the case of Naschad Rabbi Abba. That's how the Ran answers, that's how the Ritva answers. Just the Ritva asks on that, if that's the case, why does the Gemara say, Islach Sahadi? Do you have two Edim that saw you pay? The Gemara should have said, even if it was an Eid Echod, Sahadi is Mashma two Edim. Even an Eid Echod should theoretically make the Malva be Mechuyiv to give the money back, because it'll be a case of Metech Shein Yochel Yishav Mishalim. Why did Rabbo ask the Shliach, Choma, did two Edim see you pay? Even one aid would do the trick according to Taisa's Kasha. If one aid is made that he saw the payment, it'll be a case of Mitech Shein Yochel Lishav Mishalem, and the Malva will be forced to give the money back. Now the Ravash offers an answer that the Shita that holds that we don't say Mitech Shein Yochel Lishav Mishalem unless the Teveya is being Teveya with a Bari. Here Avimai really doesn't know for sure what happened. He wasn't there. He's being Teveya the Malva to pay him back the money based on the testimony of the Shliach. But since Avimai himself is only a Shema, and Shvua Seir Echod, based on a Shema, is not Chai V'Shvua, therefore, we're not going to say, Mitoch She'ni Yochol Shavu Mishalim, and therefore, the Malva would not have to give the money back. However, there's Machlaikas about that. There is a Shita that holds that there is Shvua Seir Echod with Yeraisa, even with the Bal Dover, the Teveya, being a Shema. Therefore, the Ritva offers a different teretz, that we don't say Mitech She'ni Yochel Lishav Mishalem only by a Shvua D'Yeraisa. When there's a Shvua D'Yeraisa, and the only Shvua the Torah would allow would be to be Makhish, the aid, and in the case of Naschad Rabba Abba, the person who grabbed the Chayfetz wasn't going to be Makhish, the aid, he was going to say something else. Itaka grabbed it, but it was mine. There's no such a Shvua to say that he swears it's his. Therefore, he blibes at Dinah Mitech She'ni Yochel Lishav Mishalim. However, over here, the Chiyuv Shvu is only a Chiyuv Shvu derabbanan. The Eid is being made, the Chayv is Parua, and Mediraisa, since the Malva has the Shtar, he can be Goyva even against Eid Echod. Mediraabbanan, the Chachamur Mesakin, the Shvuas HaMishnan, the Pezayin Omed Aleph, when the Eid Echod is made, that the Shtar is Parua, the Malva has to swear before he's Goyva. By Ishvu Mediraabbanan, we don't say this rule of Mitoch She'eni Yochel Lishav Mishalim. The aid says it's Perua, and the Malva is not being Makashim to say it's not Perua. Rather, he's saying it's Perua, but it's Sitroi. It was for a different Chayv. Over here, since it's only Shvua Derabbanan, we're going to allow the Malva to swear that it was Sitroi in place of swearing that the Shtar wasn't Perua, and therefore, the Malva will be able to keep both the Shtar and the money. The halacha that you have to swear against the aid to makreshim, contradict what the aid says, that's only if the aid is machayev a shvua d'oraisa. So if the aid is machayev a shvua d'rabbanan, in such a case, as long as he swears anything that will allow him to keep the money, that will suffice, and he doesn't necessarily have to swear a shvua that contradicts what the aid echot says. And over here, he won't swear that it's not perua. He'll swear it was perua, but was sitroi, and therefore I'm keeping both the shtar and the money, and that will be enough for him to do so.
Now, what's seemingly hard to understand about this teretz is that the aid's not being made that it's paid up and the malva is being makrish that it wasn't paid up. The aid's being made that the malva was toikif the money. He grabbed the money, he made a tfisa on money that he doesn't deserve. That's not a shaila of the shua, is it parua or not parua. What he has to swear is that he didn't steal money, l'chayra. Now the Ravash, and really the Rashba already writes that, the shaila is taka not on the money that he paid him. The issue at hand is, was it parua or not? It's not considered that he grabbed the money and stole it, and he's excusing it by saying, I really deserve it from somewhere else. The question is, did he pay back the chayv or not? If that's the understanding of the shakla v'tari, the give and take between the leiva and the malva, then it's understandable what the Ritva answers, that it's only a shvud rabbanon here. It's not that he grabbed money and stole it. And the question is, did he steal somebody else's money or not? So in such a case, we'll say, even though the malva says, en chotvi v'didi chotvi, I takas took money that belongs to me, we'll say on that, mitoch sheni yochol l'shavon mishalim. The Ritva understands, and the Rashba says it, and the Rivash, the question is over here, did he pay the chayv back or not? If that's the perception of this dialogue, if this is the perspective that we're supposed to be looking at the Shiloh, did he pay back the chayv or did he not pay back the chayv? So then we could say it's a shua midirabanan of Eidachad being made that it's parua and the malva says that it wasn't parua. In such a case, we're not going to say mitech shenei chalishav mishalim. However, Tosfos and the Ran, who do not answer like the Ritva, understand the shakla v'tari is not over here, did he pay up the chayv or not? That's not our question. The fundamental question is, did he steal money or not? Did the malva grab money that doesn't belong to him? In such a case, if we're not looking at it as a sufik piroin, sufik not piroin, rather the shayla is a sufik zayla, sufik not kezayla, of course that's already a shvud yiraisa. Did he take somebody else's money? And therefore, Tosfos and the Ran refused to answer like the Ritva, because the shua over here is not a shaila whether it's parua or not. The shaila over here is whether he stole or not. And therefore, Tosfos answers in the Ran that the reason it's not considered an eid echod that's made that he stole, and therefore he would have to contradict the words of the eid with a shua, and since he can't do that, we would say, the reason that doesn't apply over here is only because it's after the takon of shua's heses, and therefore he cannot be considered an eid. Now the Gemara goes on to say, does the shliach have to pay back the mashalech, the leiva? At first the Gemara wanted to differentiate whether the leiva said, get me back the shtar and give him the money, it's mashma, he wanted him to take the shtar first, to whether he said, give him the money and get me back the shtar, where he wasn't makbid, where he did trust them. The Gemara's maskana is in olifanim, he doesn't matter what the loiva told the mishaleach, whether he said, get the shtar first or get the money first, he has to pay the mishaleach, because the skunish deratichav lele avasi, I sent you to do a shlichus for my good, not to mess me over, therefore he has to pay. Now, Tosfos says, still, even after the Gemara, that we say, that's only if he told him, either at first or afterwards, make sure you get the shtar back. But if he didn't tell him at all, get the shtar back, he said, here, bring the money to the malva, it seems that he trusted him, and he didn't warn him to get the shtar, then there's no taina on the shliach. The shliach says to the leiva, what do you want from me? You trusted him. You didn't tell me a word about getting the shtar back. All that the Gemara says is, even if he said, give him the money and get the shtar back, he meant, make sure you get the shtar back, and he wasn't so medayik how he said it. The chronology of what he said isn't important. But if he didn't mention a word about getting the shtar back, the shliach can say, I inferred from your words that you trusted him, and therefore there's no dayan on the shliach, and the shliach is potter. Now there's an interesting mabit that the shach brings down, that the Tosfos says that the shliach can say, I inferred that you trusted the malva by not asking me to get the shtar. That's only if the malva is a Jew. If the malva is a goy, and the shliach is a shliach b'schar, he's getting paid to do the shlichus, the mabit holds that even if the loiva didn't tell the shliach get the shtar at all, still the shliach is chayev to pay the loiva, even if the loiva didn't say a word about getting the shtar back. He writes, first of all, he's a shliach b'schar. If he's a shliach b'schar, he should have been more careful, and therefore he's chayev. And secondly, The malva is a guy. If the malva is a guy, he should have understood that of course he has to get the shtar back, even without mentioning it at all. What's the pshat in that? The pshat in that is, Tais is not saying exeris hakosav over here, that if he didn't mention it, he clearly trusted the malva and patches the shliach from getting the shtar back. That's not what Tais means. Tais means that where the loiva didn't say anything about getting the shtar back, the pashita understanding is that the loiva trusted the malva, and therefore the shliach is not any more responsible for the chayiv than the actual loiva. And if the loiva wasn't careful, the shliach doesn't have to be careful either. But when it's a goy, it's a davar pashit. Everyone knows that the goy would have no problem ripping off the loiva by holding onto the shtar, and it's kilu, it's as if he said mefurish, first night, get the shtar back. Everyone knows if you give the guy the money without getting the shtar back first, you're not going to see the shtar and he's going to keep it. Therefore, when it's self-understood that he has to get the shtar back, the mabit understands that the shliach is chayiv, even if he didn't say a word about telling the shliach to get the shtar back. The shliach is mefakfik about it. The shliach is mesupik if the halacha is like the mabit, because it could be that it's not self-understood even by a guy also. But the shliach would also be meida that there's no din that he has to say get the shtar back. It's just that this pashut understanding, the default understanding of not mentioning anything, means that, yeah, I trust him, don't worry about it. And therefore, if he didn't tell him to get the shtar back, the shliach is not responsible. The shliach can say, just as you trusted him, I trusted him also. However, in a case where it's clearly not so, where clearly the shliach's job is to get the shtar back, where there's reason to assume that the malva will not give the shtar back, even if the loiva didn't say it expressly, if it's clear that he meant it, according to Mabit, that's the case by a goy, of course the shliach is chayev because he was pesheh. Now, as we mentioned before, in Shulchan Aruch there's two deis in the case where the malva tightens its roininu, and therefore he causes the shliach to lose money. According to one sheet, it doesn't matter what the shliach said, even if he gave the money quietly, or even if he gave the money expressly for the milva b'shtar, still the malva can say it's roininu. However, the second shita brought down is the shita Samordechai that we mentioned before, that there is no way for the malva to grab the money at the expense of the shliach. Just like the Pnei Yeshua asks over here, he really asked it on Daf Pei Dalet Amud Beis, we mentioned it over there, that it comes out, it's laksa midas hadin. It's clearly not mistaber, it's not yesher, for the malva to be able to grab money at the cost of the shliach. The Pnei Yeshua understands that the halacha is like the second sheet in the Shulchan Aruch that we mentioned, that the malva cannot say sitroi ninu unless he says clearly that the shliach gave the malva the money expressly for the milva baal peh, not for the milva b'shtar. In such a case, the shliach actually is mazik himself. He caused himself the hefsid by saying that he's giving it for the milva baal peh, not for the milva b'shtar. And since in such a case, the malva believes because he has a migul, only in such a case will the shliach be forced to pay, as according to the words of the malva, the shliach actually gave it to him expressly for the milva alpe. But if that wasn't the case, if he was quiet, he gave it bestama, and definitely if he gave it, l'shem the chayiv shebishtar, if will be mechayiv the shliach to pay, it will be laksami the sadin, the malva will be unfairly rolling this hefset onto the shliach, and therefore the halach would be that he'd have to give the money back to the loiva. The Gemara brings a story. Hahi itza dehavu mifkudu gabar mluga de story. A woman got a pikodin from a man, a satchel full of stories. She was to watch it as a pikodin. The man who was mafkid these stories died. The simon came and said to the woman who was the nifkedes, give us back the shtaris, please. And she says, really, your father owed me money, and he never paid me back. And I was taifes these shtaris when he was still alive. This way, I can get paid back for the chayv your father owes me. So they came to Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman said to the woman, do you have edim that the father was taivea the shtaris from you when he was still alive, and you refused it as you were taifes it as a mashkin? She said, no. So he said, if that's the case, then it's the tefisa lachar misa, and tefisa lachar misa, according to Rabbi Akiva, does not work. The tefisa that you made without the knowledge of the father is not considered a tefisa. Rashi explains, because as long as the father was alive, it was bikadin by you. And it was considered as if it was munachin b'rishusay. It's as if it was in the rishus of the mafkid. Tefisa mechaim only helps when the bal chayv, the malva, or the wife who's taking a ksuba, sees that the father, the husband, is about to die. So he goes ahead, or she goes ahead and grabs metaltlin from the rishus of the father or husband. However, in this case, the shtaris brayu was a pikadin. So it was considered always in the rishus of the mafkid. In that case, there was never a tfisa, as it always stayed in the rishus of the mafkid. As the rishus of the nefkedes, as the rishus of the woman who's holding the shtaris, is also mushal, it's also lent to the mafkid. Since it never left the rishus of the mafkid, it's not considered a tfisa. Now this is similar to the shitas Rashbam in Baba Basra, the Ksois brings in some Kuf Pei Tes, that a Nifkad, who got a Pikodin, and then he wants to buy it from the Mafkid, he cannot make a Kinyan Chotzer. Reuven was Mafkid a Chayfetz by Shimon. Shimon says to Reuven, I want to be Zaych, I want to be Kaina this Chayfetz from you. Reuven says, Gazon to hate, make a Kinyan. And he wants to be kind of, Shimon wants to be kind of b'chatzar. Pikadon is in Shimon's house, and Shimon says, Tiknili chatzairi. The Ksais and several other achroinim learn that according to the Rashbam and Baba Basra, the kinyan chatzar cannot work for the nifkad, for Shimon, because not only is the chayfetz Reuven's, the place, the chatzar where the chayfetz is, also belongs to Reuven, as he's the nifkad is mashil, he lends the place of the pikodin to the mafkid. So here too, even if she decided to keep it for herself and to make a tfisa, but since the shtaris belong to the loiva, the place where the shtaris are is also mushal to the mafkid, and therefore it's continuously in the rishus, in the place and possession of the mafkid. And it never left his possession to say that she made a tfisa on it. Now Tosfos has a kasha over here. Tosfos asks, Rav Nachman said to the nifkedes, to the woman, do you have edim that you were teveyat michaim? And since she said no, so he said that it's a tfisa lachar misa, which doesn't help. Tosfos asks, why does she need edim? Believe her with a migud that she could have said, l'kuchnein biyadi. Believe her when she says, I was tefis at michaim, because she could have said, I bought these shtaris. Now parenthetically, although the klal shtaris are nikna b'ksivo mesira, it has to be written a shtar that the meicher tells the lekeach, kniv iu v'chol shibudei b'zaycha and the shtaris and all the shibudim that come together with it. If they hand over the shtaris, still she could say that I bought it, at least to own the paper. To own the paper of a shtar that can be bought with a simple kinyan of hagbar mashicha, however somebody's kind of paper. And once she owns the paper, she doesn't have to give the shtaris back to the yarshim as she can force them to work out a deal with her to pay back the chayv. It would work at least as well as any mashkin. Al kolpanim, Tosfos asks Akasha, let her be believed with a migu. She could say lekuchin. So believe her now that she was teifes mechayim. So Tosfos answers here with a famous yisoid that migu l'mafreya lo yamin. And according to Tosfos, since when she said, I was teifes at mechayim, she thought that's a winning taina. She didn't realize she's going to have to come with edim to prove that she did a tfisa. So there's not going to be a taina that if I was lying, I would say a better lie, I would say lekuchen. She thought she's going to win with this taina. In such a case, we're not going to say that migu, she could have originally said lekuchen, which is a better taina, she could be believed now with that same migu. Migu only works like this. I say taina A, and if I was lying, I could say taina B, which is better, so believe me. So if I'm saying a weaker taina, but I could say a better taina, mali l'shaker, why would I lie? Obviously, I'm saying the truth. However, when somebody says taina A and doesn't think at that point there's anything wrong with taina A, she said mechaim tefisna, she had no idea that she has to bring edim that the mafkid was teveyat mechaim, and she refused to give it back, that only that creates a tefisa. She thought, when she tainted Mechaim Tefisna, that it's enough, that she decided that she wants to keep it as a mashkin. Now that she found out that the way she tainted her taina, it's no good. She has to modify her taina to make it halachically acceptable. At this point, we're not going to give her the kayach of a migu and say, really, she could have lied retroactively the first time around, and she could have said lekuchen. So believe her now that she's saying that he was teveyat mechayim, and I didn't give it to him. Even though she doesn't have Aiden, believe her, because she could have said lekuchen originally. We're not going to say that. Originally, she thought her taina was perfect. There'd be no reason for her to lie and say lekuchen hein biyadi. Now she learned that she has to modify her taina to make it accepted in Besdin. We're not going to say that she has a migu that she could have retroactively said lekuchen. At this point, it's too late. She didn't say lekuchen originally. She's already made that it's not lekuchen. Just she said she made a tfisa mechayim. She didn't say the taina properly. She has to fix it up. Therefore, without edim, she will not be believed. Lekoparam shitas ha-toisus, as we said, migul mafreya, to say migul retroactively, le'amrinan, that doesn't work. The Rosh gives another answer to Taisus Kasha, why don't we believe her with a migul? Believe her that she made a tfisa mechayim, migul she could have said that it's lekuchen biyado. So the Rosh answers, and really the Rif writes before him, that she won't be Nemon because she'd have to bring a Raya. According to what we hold, that Oisiois are Nikna B'Ksiva Masira, in order to sell a Shtar, there has to be a Shtar on the purchase of the Shtaris. One has to write a Shtar, as we mentioned before, Kni Yu V'chol Shibudei. And since she doesn't have such a Shtar Raya to prove that she bought it, she won't be Nemon to say L'Kuchen B'Yodi. Now, as we mentioned before, Taisus preempts that, and he says that she'd be believed to say that she bought it at least for the paper, for the value of the paper of the shtaris. That doesn't need a shtar kinyan in order to sell the paper, Shabbai. To sell the value of the chayiv, it needs ksiva masira, needs a special kinyan of shtaris. But to sell the value of the paper, the 10 cents value of the paper, that she can buy like a regular kinyan of metaltlan. The Rosh doesn't want to accept that because that's a big doichik, that's a very shvach amigu to say that she could have said lekuchen, I bought a $10,000 shtar just for the paper, for the value of the paper, which may be worth just 10 cents. But there's another kasha that the Rosh asks, let's believe her with a different migu. Believe her that she was tefes at mechayim as a mashkin with a migu that she could say she got it originally as a mashkin. That's how she got in the first place, without the tefisa. Or believe her with a migu that she was tefisit mechayim as a mashkin, with a migu that she doesn't have to give it back because it was nanas. She could say, somebody took it away from her bainus, where she's going to be potter. Or believe her that she was tefisit with a tefisa mechayim as a mashkin, with a migu that she gave it back already. Or she could say, lehayu dvar me'aylam. She has many different tainas that she could taina that are better than Mechaim Tefisna. She could say it was lost by this. She could say I gave it back already. She could say it never happened in the first place. She could say I got it as a mashkin. Why don't we believe her that she was tefisit Mechaim, even if she can't bring Edim to a tefisa Mechaim, with all these different tainas that she could taina, to avoid giving it back b'chlal to the Yerusha? So the Rosh says this Gemara must be talking about that she got it as a pikodin with Edim. And Edim also saw it now by her, which in that case, she can't say, I got it originally as a mashkin, or it never happened, because there are Edim that know, that saw the hafkada. She can't say, it's nensu miyadi, or she can't say, hichzartim, I gave it back already, because there are Edim that see it now by her. But enachanami, in a case where there are no Edim on the hafkada, or there's no Edim that she has it by her now, she'll be nemen with a migo. But since there are Edim that say that she got it as a hafkada, and it's still by her, so the only way she'll be Naman is by proving with two Edim that there was a Tfiyah Mechayim, and she said, I'm not giving it back, and she kept it as a mashkin. Now that's all Medina de Gemara. However, Bezman HaZeh, where we have Tekonas HaGoinim that we mentioned in the previous daf, that Metalt Diyasmi are Mishtabed to a Ksuva or to a Baal Choyv, of the father, Mela, she can be Tefis now, even La'achar Misa. Therefore, even without any Migu, even without any Tainus of Mechaim Tefisna, if there's such a case were to happen nowadays, she'd have a right to be Tefisit now, even La'achar Misa, because after the Takanas HaGa'inim, that metaltel the yasmi armishtabli to bal chayv of the father. It's just like karka b'zman ha-gemura that she can make a tfisa and hold on to it and collect her chayv from those stories. Afterwards, the Gemara brings another story that there was a woman who was chayiv to swear in Rava's Bezdin, and Rava's wife, the daughter of Rav Chista, said, I know that this woman, this Baldovar, is chashuda to swear falsely. So Rava, based on the testimony of his wife, made the other person, not this woman who was chayiv a shvua, rather the other Baldovar, swear, as it says in Shvuas, that a Choshed al Shvua can't swear, and Shekinegda, the person who is Baldovar, swears and wins the Din Torah. Rashi quotes the Mishnah in Shvuas Ve'elu Nishboim Neitlin. These are from the people who swear and take. Normally, a person is Nishba to patter himself from a Taina. There is a case, Midrabon, where a person is Nishba Ve'neitl, where he actually takes away from the Nitba. If the Nitba is a Choshed, so the Teveya is allowed to swear and be neitel and win the Din Torah based on his shvua. That's how Rashi explains this Gemara, that the woman who was chai v'shvua was a nitba, and the daughter of Rav Chista, Rava's wife, said, I know that she's a chashuda, she can't swear, so Rava relied on his wife to make this nitbas, the nitva, a chashuda ala shvua, and thus allowing the teveya to swear and to take out money from the nitba based on his shvua. The Ritva is very upset with this. How is it possible for Rashi to understand that Rava was able to be mitzi mamoin based on the testimony of his wife? Technically, what happened is that the woman who was a chashuda, according to Bas Rav Chista, was able to swear and patter herself, and because of the testimony of Bas Rav Chista, Rava allowed the Teveya to swear and be neitel. It seems he's being mitzi mamoin based on the edus of an isha who's an eid echad. That the chayr is impossible. Therefore, the Ritva learns that the Gemara is not talking about that the chashuda was a nitbas, that she was the person defending herself. The chashuda was really a Teveya, and she had a right al pidin. It was one of the cases that the Mishnah says in Shavuos that she can swear and be neitel. But since Bas Rav Chista said she's chashuda, that was enough for Rava to be mapech the shvua, to turn it around and give the shvua to the nitba and allow the nitba to patter himself by swearing. That's not being mitzi mamon based on an eid echod. That's not being mitzi mamon based on an isha. That's a lot easier to do, and therefore Rava was able to be samech on his wife and allow the nitba to be nishba v'niftar. The Gemara continues with a story that Rav Papa and Rav Adar Bar Masna were by Rava, and the shtar came in. The Teveya wanted to be based on the shtar. Rav Papa said, I know the shtar is paid already. The Rava said to him, do you have anybody with you? So he said, no. So he said, even though you're an eid echod, that's not enough. I need two eidim. So Rav Adar Bar Masna asked Rava, why is Rav Papa any less to you than your wife, the daughter of Rav Chista? So Rava said, Rav Chista's wife, Rav Chista's daughter, my wife, I'm kimli begavo. I know her well enough. It's impossible for her to be saying the truth or mistaken. I don't know if Rav Papa is that trustworthy. Rav Papa said, if that's the case, that you go based on trustworthiness, my son Arba Bamari, who I trust entirely, if he were to testify about a shtar that it's paid, I would be marana shtara apumi. I would make the shtar have a reyesa based on what he told me. That's the Gemara. Now, what does this mean? I would make a reyesa on the shtar. I would downgrade the shtar based on what he says. Rashi learns that if an eid echod, like Abraham Amori, is made, the shtar is paid up already, I won't be goyva with the shtar. I won't use it to be mitzi mamon. However, I won't tear it. And therefore, if the teveya uses the shtar to go not to another bezin who doesn't know Abraham Amori, so he'll be able to be mitzi mamon with the shtar. I won't be goyva with it, but I won't rip it up either. That's how Rashi explains. Taisus, however, brings Rabbeinu Hananel, and the Rif also learns like that, as is brought down in the Rosh, that Maran l'shtar apume means that I'll be mechayiv the Teveya to swear that the Shua is not parua, it's not paid up, before I'm gaiva with it. That means he will be nizdakik l'din, he will paskin to be Maitzi Momen based on the Shtar, but not without a Shua of the Malva first, that it's not paid up. So Taisus asks on that, what do I need Kimli Begavei of Araba Mari to get to that Halacha, that I'll have to be Mashbiah the Malva before we are Mizdakik to the Shtar and allowing to be Gaiva with it? Any Eid Echod, who's made that the Shtar is Perua, the Mishnah says enough pays Ayin Omer Aleph, an Eid Echod is made on a Shtar that it's Perua, the Malva has to swear before he's Gaiva with this Shtar. What's so special about Abba Bar Mari that Kimli Begavei, I know that he never makes a mistake, doesn't lie. Any Eid Echod has that halacha that he's Machayiv, the Alva to swear, if there's an Eid Echod that's made that it's Perua. And more than that, the Rosh asks, why did Rava not trust Rav Papa even to be Goyer Meshvua? Rav Papa's not less than any Eid Echod. Even if it's not Kimli Begavei, but he's an Eid Echod. And the Mishnah says in Daf Pei Zayin that an Eid Echod that's made, that the Shtar is Perua, is Machayiv Veshvua of the Malva, before we're going to be Goyva with the Shtar. So Taisus and the Rosh both answer that the Chiddush of Kimli Begavei, that it's Machayiv Veshvua, is even if the person is not an Eid Echod. Either he's a Karoiv, or he's a Apostle, he's an Isha. Basrav Chista was a woman, she's not a Kosher Eid Echod. The case of Rav Papa, that he was made, that Rava said you have another aid with you, is talking about the Rav Papa was a Karev. In those cases, the Mishnah and Daf Pei Zayin Omer Aleph won't apply. It has to be a kosher Eid Echod that's Mechayiv Shvua. What happens if the Eid Echod is not a kosher Eid Echod? He's a Karev, or it's an Isha. In such a case, normally an Eid Echod is not Mechayiv Shvua, that the Malva would have to swear that it wasn't Perua. In a case where it's Kimli Begava, where the Dayan knows that the person who's a Pasla Eid Echod is somebody very trustworthy, that's enough for a Dayan to be Mechayiv of the Malva to swear that the Shtar is not Perua yet. So that's one teretz that the Rishonim, namely Taisus and the Rosh, bring, that the Nafkamina of Kimli Begavei, that if the Dayan knows the Eid Echod is saying the truth, he can force the Malva to swear that he did not get payment yet for the Shtar, even though really the Mishnah says that by every Eid Echod, he's Machayev the Malva to swear that he wasn't paid yet. The Nafkamina is in a case where the person is an aid posel, like a woman or a karev. If the Dayan still says, Kimli Begavei, he can Machayev Eshua. The Rosh brings another Nafkamina from Rabbeinu Chananel. What happens if a Leiva wrote to the Malva, Nemonus in the Shtar? Quite often, the Malva got the Leiva to write that in any disagreement between the two, the Loiva believes the Malva. The Malva doesn't have to bring any proof to anything he says, and the Malva is automatically believed. Now that works in a Shtar, and the Malva doesn't have to prove his claim. That's called Nemonus. What happens in a case where the Loiva wrote Nemonus to the Malva? He said, whatever you say, you're going to be believed, and I don't have a right to argue with you. So in a normal case where an Eid Echad comes along and says it was Perua, the Nemonus preempts the taina of the Eid Echod, and therefore the Malva doesn't have to swear. Even though normally when the Eid Echod is made that it's Perua, Malva has to swear. When Malva has Nemonus from the Leiva, he doesn't have to swear. However, in a case where the Eid Echod that's made, the Dayan says Kimli Begavei that he's not lying, I know the person and I trust him, in such a case, even if there's Nemonus to the Malva, the Malva will have to swear because the Eid Echod that's being made here is not a regular Eid Echod. He's an Eid Echod that the Dayan knows is saying the truth, and therefore, even if the Malva has Nemonus, in this case, he's going to have to swear. That's another nafkamina of this halacha where the Dayan knows that's Kimli Begavei, that he's saying the truth. The Rif says another nafkamina in this halacha of a Eid Echod that's made, that it's Perua, and the Dayan is Kimle Begavei, that he's saying the truth. If there are two shtaris that are Yaitzis B'yom Echod, they're both written the same day, and they're both being brought to Bezdin for payment, and on one of the shtaris, an Eid Echod that Bezdin trusts, that's Kimle Begavei, an Eid Echod is saying that it was paid up, in such a case, they will give the payment to the Baal Chayiv with a shtar that doesn't have an Eid Echod, that Bezdin trusts, that's made, that it was paid up already. Now, the Rishonim, namely the Rosh and the Ritva, and really that's how it's passed in the Shulchan Aruch, say that nowadays this halacha of Kimli Begavei doesn't apply. Bezdin cannot do a Hepuch Shvua, or do a Maranale L'shtore, to make a shtar downgraded, as we explained before, because we don't know exactly what Kimli Begavei means, how much Bezdin has to be certain of the person's trustworthiness. Therefore, we won't make a Hepuch Shvua. We won't take the Shvua from one Baldin and pass it to the other Baldin based on one aid's testimony that the first one is a Chashud. However, this much we do take into account, that if Bezdin is certain this person, this Eid Echo that's made, is trustworthy, the Rosh says, Machmitzen hadin v'dorshin v'chikrin achisbarer hadover v'yetz hadin la'amitoy. Bezdin's going to have to sit and work harder and thoroughly interrogate and investigate until they get to the absolute truth. Adam with Bez, in the middle of the Amid, the Gemara brings a story. A person wrote a tzavo, and in the tzavo he wrote, Nechasai l'tuvya. He gave his nechasim to tuvya. He didn't explain which tuvya, and he died. Came along a fellow named Tuvya, so Rabbi Yechanan said, okay, give him the money. His name is Tuvya. Now, what happens if two people with the name Tuvya come? So the Gemara says, different umdenus, what he meant. If one is a shachin, the first Tuvya is a shachin, and the second one is a Talmud Chacham is first, because we assume that was what he wanted to do with his money when he dies. The Mahana Talmud Chacham is nechasim. It's a big mitzvah. And the same, one Tuvya is a Karev, and another Tuvya is a Talmud Chacham, so the Talmud Chacham is first. The Gemara has a shaila, what happens if one Tuvya is a shachin, another is a Karev? So the Gemara says that the Shachin is first. What happens if they're both Shachinim, both Krevim, or they're both Tamid Chachamim? What do you do in such a case? There's no clear umdana what he meant. So the Gemara says, Shuda the Daini. That's how they're going to pass in the Shiloh. What does Shuda the Daini mean? Rashi explains that the Dayanim try to figure out what did this person really mean. If one of the Tuvias was closer than the next to the person who died, we're going to give it to him. If one of them was more chashiv than the other one, we're going to give it to him. Bezdin tries to figure out what the das of the person was, and that's what the psak is going to be. Taisus argues, Taisus understands that Shuda the Dayanim doesn't mean what the Dayanim think that the person who died meant. Rather, Shuda the Dayanim means whatever Bezdin would like to do, they can do. There's a raya from the Gemara and Gittin that Taisus brings for that. Another ayah from a Gemara in Kedushin, Taisus proves that the Lashon Shuda the Dayanim means that Bezdin really does whatever they'd like. It doesn't necessarily mean that they figured out that was the das of the person who wrote the tzevo. However, if they took money to influence their decision, the apsak, of course, is invalid. The Dayan can't take any gratuity for paskening who the money should go to, but he can do whatever he'd like. There's no real rules to a Shuda the Dayanim. Now, our Gemara is talking about where he's giving a present, where it's giving a matnas shchivmara. What happens if the person who died wrote in his tzavo that he's chayiv to Tuvya, X amount of money? So, according to the Ramah, even if we say that there's one Tuvya is a Talmud Chacham and the other isn't a Talmud Chacham, or one Tuvya is a Karev and the other isn't, that we give it to the person who's closer to him, or the person who's a Talmud Chacham, that's only when a person is giving a present. When a person owes money to whoever he owes, we're not going to make cheshbainus, who did he mean to give it to? Since we don't know, we're going to have to do a yachleiku and give it to both. All the svaris of who's more chashuv, or who's closer to the person who wrote this present, are only applicable in a case of a matana, in a case where he owes money, if he borrowed money, let's say, from somebody, that has nothing to do with who he's closer to or who is more chashuv. However, the shach holds that even in such a case, it will be toluy in the machlekes, Rashi and Taisus we just mentioned. According to Rashi, that shuda the daini is we try to figure out what he meant. So in this case, we have no right to try to figure out what he meant, because who he's closer to or who's more chashuv amongst the two tuvias is not going to be relevant if he borrowed money from the non-chashuv tuvia or from the non-close tuvia. It makes no difference. If he borrowed money from somebody that's not close to him, he still has to pay him back. Therefore, since Rashi learns normally Yeshuda the Daini is bezin figures out what he meant, in a case where it's impossible to figure out what he meant because those ideas of who is closer to or who is more chashuv are totally irrelevant, in such a case we'll make yachleiku. However, according to Tosfos, that Yeshuda the Daini means that it doesn't really matter what he meant. When we have a suffix like this, we just say that bezin could do whatever it wants and it's not bound to any particular logic or reason. Therefore, even in the case where the person who wrote the Tzavah wrote, I owe money to Tuvia, and we don't know which Tuvia he meant, even in such a case, we'll say Shu D'Daini. Now the Shach really is masik that the Kuli Alma we say Shu D'Daini even when it's a matter of paying back a Chayv. He just entertains the idea to say it would be totally in Rashi and Tosfos, even according to the Ramah's logic. The Ramah is based on a Braisa that the Ran quotes from the Tosefta. It says, if one is Meshacher, an Eved, whose name is Tovi, and he has two Avodim with the same name, the Halacha is that both are Meshacher, because clearly he wasn't Meshacher on his own volition. Obviously somebody paid for the Shechar of the Eved, because if that would be Osir, the Meshacher, because it says, Leilu Mehem Tavaydu. So it's as if he sold the Eved to somebody. So it makes no difference who of the two Avodim he liked more. This is only a matter of who was paid for, and since it's a Safek, he has to Meshachar both. The same way if somebody writes that he owes money as a Pikodin or as a Halva to one of two people with the same name, the Halacha is Yachloiku. Again, because a person doesn't necessarily borrow or take a Pikodin from somebody that he likes. Therefore, the Halacha is Cholkin. The Shach learns that Braisa, argues on our sugya, and that Braisa holds even by a matana, the Braisa would hold yachloiku, and since our sugya doesn't hold of it, there's no raya from that Braisa. Meila, the Shach argues on the Ramah entirely, and he holds even by a chayv, or a pikadoin, if he says he owes tuvya, a pikadoin or a chayv, and we don't know which one he means, even in such a case, the halacha is shuda d'daini. Now there's another interesting halacha the Shach points out. He learns the entire sugi is only talking about a case where the yarshim of the one who wrote the tzavah are happy to give the present to the proper tuvia. They just don't know which. However, they theoretically could be doicha each one and say, our father possibly meant the other tuvia. So unless there's a harshah from one tuvia to the other, or the yarshim are willing on their own volition to give the matana to one of the tuvias, they can theoretically dray out of this matana entirely. Now, l'chayra, that should also be tolui in Rashi and Tosfos. According to Tosfos, that makes very good sense. The halacha shuda d'daini, Bezdin decides what it wants, but until Bezdin gets an okay from the Yarshim, the chiyuv doesn't start. However, according to Rashi, that Bezdin figures out what the father really meant, and that's what we assume is what the tzavah is intended for, Memela. Once Bezdin decides which Tuvia is closer, the Yarshim can't tray out of it. They can't maneuver their way out by saying, maybe you're not the right Tuvia. Bezdin decided this is the right Tuvia, and Mela will have to pay. Another small ha'ora in this sugya of Shuda, the Gemara says that Shachain is considered a reason to bring about Kurva, and therefore, if one Tuvia is Shachain and one is not, the Shachain has Kedima. The Rosh holds, Shachain doesn't necessarily mean somebody who he lives next to. It means more a business associate. It means somebody that he's close to because they have dealings. If it's just somebody who lives in his proximity, that alone will not make a kurva that will allow Bezdin to give a matana to him necessarily. Now, Pesachei Tshuva, in Siman Resh Gimel, on Siv Chav Tes, brings an interesting shaila that was presented in the Rebbe Yehuda. A woman wrote a tzava to give her nechasim to her granddaughter, whose name was Trina. Now the thing is, she had two granddaughters with that name. The question was, which did she mean? Now it happened to be that one of the Trinas was married to a serious Talmud Chacham. Now the Gemara just says that if somebody gives to a Tuvia, one of them is a Talmud Chacham, one of them is not, that we say the Talmud Chacham is first. Here, it's somewhat comparable because Trina's husband, the Talmud Chacham, will be Nana from the Nachasim. However, she's not giving it directly to the Talmud Chacham, she's giving it to her granddaughter Trina. Do we say in such a case where indirectly the Talmud Chacham will have Hanoah, that even in such a case we say the Talmud Chacham Koidim? Or no? Do we say only if, as the Gemara says, he gives it to the Talmud Chacham, then we say that intention was for the Talmud Chacham. But in a case where it's going through the beneficiary of the Tzeva to a Talmud Chacham, there already there's no umdana that that's what the grandmother meant. Neit Behuda seems to be neite, that since the Talmud Chacham is going to be nene from it, she probably meant that granddaughter Trina who was married to the Talmud Chacham. However, since it's not clear, he says it's kedai to be mefashi. Towards the end of the Amud, the Gemara brings Shmuel's memra. It's one of the famous members in Shas. If Reuven sold the shtar chayv to Shimon, and then he was meichel the chayv, Levi owes Reuven money, and says so in the shtar. And Reuven sold the shtar to Shimon, and Reuven was meichel to Levi. The halacha is the chayv is meichel, and Shimon cannot be goyva with the shtar that he has. Not only could the Malva himself be Meichel the Chayiv, even the Yerush of the Malva could be Meichel. But the Gemara says, if a woman had a Shtar Chayiv on a Loiva, and she got married, and she brought in the Shtar Chayiv to her husband, as Nechse Malug, she cannot be Meichel, because Yodo ki Yodo, and she can't be Meichel the Chayiv without her husband's Rishos. Now, the basic question in the sugi is, why, if the chayv is sold, does the meicher, who is the malva, have a right to be meichel the chayv? It's sold already, it left his possession, it belongs to the kaina now. So there are three basic mahalchim in the Rishonim to explain this halacha, that if the malva, the meicher, was chayzer meichel the chayv, that it's meichel. Tosis over here asks a kasha. How could the Meicher really sell the chayv? Where's the mechira chal? Tosfos asks Bishlomo, if Levi has karkois, so the shibur on the karkois that Reuven has, that he could sell to Shimon. But if there's no karkois to Levi, it's just that he has a right to be goyva from Levi himself, so how does Reuven transfer that shibur that he has on Levi to Shimon? What's he selling? It's an intangible. So Tosfos really says that Mechira Ashtaris is only Midrabonim, the Yeraisa, Taka does not work. And Taisa says, that's the reason that if the Meicher, namely the Malva, was Meichel the Chayiv, that's Mochel. If the Mechira would be in the Yeraisa, it's not Mistaber to say that he'd be able to be Meichel it. Al Kulpanim, we see Shitas HaTaisis is that the reason the Mechila is Chal is only because it's Midrabonim. With Yeraisa, there's no such a thing as Mechira Shtaris. Now, parenthetically, Tosfos asks a kash on that. If you're telling me that Mechira Shtaris is only Midrabanan, why do I need a pasuk to Mayit Shtaris for my no? The Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Nun Vav, brings a klal of prato klal. V'chisim kru mimkor la misecho, a economy at a misecho, only by such things there's a no. It's Mimayit, Avodim, and Karkois, and Shtaris, because they're not a dover metaltel v'gufay mamay. Therefore, if somebody cheats a lekeach or a meicher in the sale of a shtar or an eved or a karka, there's no I know. If you're telling me that there is no such a thing with your eyes as mechiras shtarois, why do we need a pasuk to imayit mechiras shtarois for my no? So Tosfos over here answers two tirutzim. Tosfos first answers, true, there's no such a thing as Mechira Shtaris Medirayisa, but I need a pasuk to Mayit for my Noah, because although the Kaina doesn't own the Chayiv, but it's still worth a lot to the Kaina because he can sell it now to the Loiva. If the Chayiv is, let's say, worth $1,000, and the Kaina paid $800 for the Shtar, it's still something that he can sell to the loiva for $900. It's worth it to him. So therefore, the Torah was a mayit, the sale, which really isn't chal as far as transferring the chayv, but there is some sort of a business deal that happened over here because the kaina has something that's worth for him to sell to the loiva. Therefore, the Torah was a mayit from Maino. Taisus then says another teretz that the nafkamina is in a case where the malva lent money to the loiva already, in milva al peh. There is a chayv here. The malva was concerned that he won't get the money back, so he paid the loiva to write a shtar chayv on himself on that halva. If he overpaid or underpaid the loiva to write the shtar, I might think there's aino, komash malon the pasuk, that there is no aino by shtaris. Now, what's a bit schwer with that is, that's not a case of mechir ashtaris. He's not paying him for the sale of the shtar. What's happening is he's paying him a schar pu'ula to do work to write a shtar for him. That's not comparable to avodim and karkois, which are memuit from aino in the sale of avodim or in the sale of karkois. Here we're saying that if he hired him to do something, to write a shtar on himself, there's no aino in such a case. Now, first of all, according to the Shita set, there's no aino by schar pu'ula at all, even by kablonus, so I don't need a pasuk. There's never any aino by schiras pa'alim. And even if you say there is aino by schiras pa'alim by kablonus, it's a bit shverlach to say that the pasuk's talking about the kablonus of writing a shtar. In such a case, there's no aino. The pasuk we're darshening is talking about selling karkois and avodim. In such a case, there's no aino. To say that by shtaris we're talking about something else, he's just hiring him to write the shtaris, l'chayr, it's a very big doichik. The Ran, however, answers very simply. Enachanami, mechir shtaris is only midirabonim. Midirai said that mecher wasn't chal. But Chazal said the mecher is chal. So true, the posik midirai says not being memayit shtaris from aino. The posik is talking about anything that's not dover metaltel v'gufay mamoin, which excludes avadim and karkois. They're not dover metaltel. But since we're dashing the pasuk to mean only something that's dover metaltel v'gufay mamoin, since shtaris also would not be included in that klal of dover metaltel v'gufay mamoin, mela, since midrabanan the mecher ischal, midrabanan b'mayit, I know, by shtaris, just as we're b'mayit, I know by avadim and karkois, midiraisa. The case of the Ram's Terrace is Anachanami. Midirais is not Chal, Midirabanan it is Chal. And therefore, the limud that we learn from the Pasuk of Aino has to be by something that's Dafka, Dover Metaltel, Gufa Momin applies to Shtaris Midirabanan. Now, the Ritva just explains that the Gemara says that Shmuel is Maida, that if a woman brought in a Shtaris, Nichsim Luk, she can't be Meichel. Aye, what's the difference? If the reason one can be Meichel is because the sale is only midirabanan, here too, when she brings the chayv to her husband, it's only midirabanan, midirai, so she cannot transfer the chayv. So why can't she be meichel? The Ritva explains that almu rabanan l'shibudei de baal. The chachamim gave the baal a strengthened schus in that chayv, and therefore she cannot be meichel. Although technically, based on the rationale of why any meicher chayiv can be meichel, the wife should be able to be meichel also. It's just a special takana. Al kolpanim, that's one mahalach in the Rishayim Taisus, and really that shita's harif, that the reason one can be meichel a chayiv is because the transfer is only midirabanan, and therefore the kainer really doesn't own the chayiv. And that's also shita's haramam in Perek Vav Melchus Mechir Alach Yud Beis. However, there's another shita in the Rishayim, shita's harivit over there, and Shitas Rabbeinu Tam that the Ran over here brings, that of course Midirais and Mechir Ashtaris is Chal. And the Raya Rabbeinu Tam brings is from the Gemara and Bab Metzia that we mentioned, that the Pasuk is Memayit Ashtaris from Aino. You see clearly that Mechir Ashtaris is Midirais. If that's so, why do we say that the Malva, who sold the Shtar, can be Meichel the Chayv to the Leiva? The Chayv was already transferred to the Kaina. How could the Malva be Meichel that Chayv? So Rabbeinu Tam explains that in every Chayv there are two Shibudim. There is the Shibud HaGuf
that the loiva has to the malva, that he's mechuyev to pay. That's the ikar, hashibud, that comes along with every loan. Now, besides that, there's a shibud on the nechasim. That's a secondary shibud, that if the loiva doesn't pay his chayiv, his nechasim are arevim for him. That's the lashon in the 10th parak of Basra. Nechsayhi debar inush inun arvin bay. The nechasim of a person are arevim for him. If he doesn't pay up his chayiv, then the malva can go to his nechasim like they were an arev. Now, the shibud haguf that the loiva has to the malva, that cannot be sold. That cannot be transferred. That's a personal shibud that the loiva has to the malva. There is no way that that can be sold. However, the shibud nechasim, that's something tangible. That can be sold to the kaina. Therefore, kol zman the malva, the meicher, wasn't meichel the chayiv, so the kaina has a right to utilize this shibud nechasim that he has on the loiva that he bought from the malva and make a gviya and be gaiva from the nechasim. However, if the malva is meichel the chayiv, what happens is the shibud haguf that the loiva has to the malva is paka, it gets undone. Mimela, the secondary shibud, the shibud nechasim that the kaina bought from the malva, that automatically falls away. If there's no primary shibud haguf, the shibud nechasim, the secondary shibud that the kaina bought, is automatically batal. Mimela, if the malva is meichel lechayiv, the chayiv is machel. The ikar shibud is still by the malva. He can allow the kaina to use the secondary shibud to be goiva, but once the primary shibud is paka because of a mechila, the secondary shibud will follow suit, and therefore the kaina cannot be goiva from the loiva anything. Now the pashtus, the understanding is that, as we said, there are two shibudim, shibud aguf and shibud nechasim. The shibud aguf is retained by the malva, the shibud nechasim goes to the kaina. But if there's not going to be any shibud aguf, in effect, so naturally, the shibud nechasim will also not be valid. That's the pashut understanding. However, Reb Chaim in Chidushei Agrach al Hashas explains it slightly differently. Reb Chaim says that it's not that there are two shibudim, one stays by the moicher and one goes to the lekeach. Both shibudim stay by the moicher. The shibud nechasim also stays by the meicher. That also is not transferable. What happens is, he sells the right to use the shibud nechasim. The kinyan of the lekeach is not to buy a shibud, it's to buy the rights of using the shibud. The shibud nechasim also don't transfer over to the lekeach. What happens is, the lekeach buys the rights to utilize the shibud. However, once the meicher is meichel the shibud that he has, of course, the kaina cannot use the shibud anymore. The shibud doesn't exist. There is a third mahalach in the Rishonim. The Rif brings Rabbeinu Chananel to explain why, if somebody sells a chayiv and then he's meichel it, the mechila is chal. Rabbeinu Chananel explains what happens is, it's not that he could be meichel a chayiv after he sold the shibud. Rather, what happens is, the mechila is tantamount to the meicher saying, to the malva saying, I check my records and I see that I made a mistake. The loiva really doesn't owe me anything anymore. Therefore, it's not that it's a mechila. What happens is it's a hidah that the whole chayiv is really a mistake. That's Rabbeinu Chananel's understanding of this halacha. However, the Rif is very upset at that. The Rif asks, if that's the case, then what's the difference in a case where a married woman brought a shtar chayiv to her husband as nechsim melug? If it's a haida where we believe her that she made a mistake, what difference does it make? The yada ki yada, the whole chayv is a mistake. Besides that, the Ran brings Rishayim that ask, a person is not nemon by das baldin in a case where it's chav lachrini. And here where the malva is saying that the loiva doesn't owe me any more money, haidas baldin, it's still going to be chav lachrini. He's causing a loss to the kaina. If we believe the malva now, the kaina of the chayiv is going to lose. Therefore, that cannot be the reason that the mechila is a mechila.
And therefore, the Rishayim explain, as we said, either it's because of the Rif's Mahalach, the Rambam's Mahalach, that Mechir Shtar is only the Rabbanon, and that's why the Malva could be Meichel, or Shidus Rabbeinu Tam and the Ravid, that when one sells a Shtar, all he's selling is a Shibud Nechosim and not the Shibud Aguf. The Shibud Aguf is retained by the Malva, and therefore, if he's Meichel a Shibud Aguf, Memeilo, automatically the Shibud Nechosim falls away, and therefore the Kaina cannot be Goyva that Chayv anymore.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.